The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yo, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for your promises. We thank you that you'll never let go, that you are our shepherd, the good shepherd, and your sheep hear your voice, and they follow you. So God, may we hear your voice this day as we look to you and we look to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I'd like to talk to you today out of the book of Jeremiah, chapter 18. You might want to turn to that. Chapter 18, but I want to really touch on two areas: the sovereign work of God and how that he is able to shape your life, my life, but he's able to shape nations as well. We're going to look at what Jeremiah was called to do. Have you ever come to a place in your life thinking, is this all there is? Or does God have something more for me that maybe he's not revealed to me yet? Chuck Smith shares in his book that God uses people in different ways. Some he uses a good portion of their lives doing full-time ministry or maybe even lay ministry work. But there are some that God has special, unique work and prepares them for it their whole life for something that might just last a day or a few days. But they complete the task that they were created for. I think it maybe is a tragic event to stand before the living God and not have found nor even sought to discover what it is that God might have created you for. Vicki Gardner of Roanoke, Virginia, survived a horrific attack back in August. Maybe you remember the story. While being interviewed, most know that story. Her response to those later on, she was shot, as others on the site were as well, and it cost them their lives. But she survived. They asked her later during an interview, and they said, what do you think about that? And how do you respond to that you survived that attack and they didn't? And she said, you know what? I thought about it a lot. And she said, by golly, I'm going to discover and find out why God protected me. I'm going to look the rest of my life to find out the purpose that I've been placed here. You know, I hope that she's looking to the right God to guide and direct her. I'm sure she is. All of us have different time spans here on earth, different gifts that God has equipped us with. Might be good to take some time to look up and say, God, do you have something for me? God, what do you want to speak to my heart? Do you have something for me to do or something you want me to be a part of? The Bible tells us in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 1, that God was calling this teenager to be a prophet to the nations, not just one nation, but many. His father was a priest, and now this young man would be carrying God's word and was to share whatever it was that God would place within his mouth. Jeremiah 1:6 says this, and this is Jeremiah's response to the calling that God had on his life. He said, O Lord, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. But the Lord said, do not say to me, you are a youth. For you shall go to all to whom I send you, and whatever I command you to speak, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then God touched his mouth, and he got an instant theological impartation education. You know, God is able to take in just a few moments and begin to use us as we are open vessels in his hand and say, Lord, what would you cause me to share? What do you want me to do? As we look for a few minutes this morning about coming to a place in our lives where we might embark on this journey to discover what God might have us to do for you, for me. Some of you might have doubts. Would God really use me? Could he use me? Well, he did with Jeremiah. Some of you might say, well, really, what do I have to lose? God, let's see what you got. Let's see what you got. The Christian life is not always breathtaking excitement. All of the time, but it is really and can be a life that satisfies the soul. It gives us the assurance that as we walk with him, he will guide my life into whatever it is that he might want us to do and to me to do. Waiting on God is really the beginning. We're going to be looking at this morning and taking a few steps in it. Coming to a place in our life that, you know what? Here's the ground floor. Here's the presentation. God, I stand before you now. I want to begin to wait upon you. I have to admit that much of the Christian life is waiting on God. A lot of it is. Waiting for that next move that he might make, his move, then we make the next move. Hey, I want you to come over here, then we make that move as well. The next move might be opening the door that he places before me. And with the opening of that door, he might have been speaking to my heart, getting me ready to go through to whatever it is and accomplish whatever it is that he might have you to do. You know, Pastor John said to me when I was released from Camp Pendleton a number of months ago, he said, Steve, going through a trial. And the scripture immediately came to my mind was, count it all joy, in the book of James, the first chapter, my brothers, when you fall into different trials, knowing that the trying of your faith develops patience. But let it or patience have its perfect work that you may be complete and entire, lacking nothing. God allows trials and he allows crises and sometimes some very disappointing times to come into our life in order to get our attention and to get us ready for the next chapter or the next door or the next season of our life that he might have for us. You know, the cool thing about it is he does it all. It reads, let it, this trial, have its perfect work that you, and that means don't try to get out of it and don't try to get done with it too early. Pastor John and I were talking the other day. I called him up. We were discussing things. And I said, I heard you were fasting. He said, fasting? I said, yeah, I heard you were fasting. And he goes, are you talking about food? And I said, yeah. He said, I'm not fasting food. He said, I'm trying to get my appetite back. I'm trying to eat. He says, oh, I know what you're talking about. He said, you know what? I'm fasting the news. I said, oh, really? Really? You mean that channel that says the fair and balance, spin stops here? That one? I don't know what it was, you know, but he just said the news. You know, sometimes you and I, my friends, might watch the news and all the fighting and all the infighting and things that are taking place between the different parties and all the things to get us mad, to get us worked up. Sometimes it might be a good idea to just shut that off. Might be a good fast. I'm not telling you to do that. But you know what? It brings peace sometimes. You ever notice that? Man, that guy, this guy, or whatever. And we get all wound up. Be careful. You are a Christian. You represent the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible calls us to be peacemakers, doesn't he? To be peacemakers. Well, look at what Isaiah says about waiting on the Lord. Isaiah 40, 29 says this, he gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Psalms 37, 34 says this, wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt you to inherit the land. And that's really kind of a picture of, isn't it, of our life, that as you begin to wait instead of grab for something, instead of maybe push somebody down and say, you know what, they're not worthy of that. I want that. And sometimes God says, you know what, you humble yourself. You wait upon me. Take your hands off of that so I can put my hands on it. And so often we forget that he's there and intervening in our life. He wants us to trust him. He is the one that's the lifter of our head, my friends. We don't grab for things. You have a loose hand on the things of this world, and let God raise you up. Let him do the things that he wants to do with you, and he will accomplish it. You don't have to get insecure. You are secure in the Lord. He will never let go, as we sang that song earlier. He said, nothing shall separate me from the love of God. Let's let God be God, and let us be his sheep of his pasture. Psalms 27:14, wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. As you look at those passages, we see increase and we see strength. And it comes by waiting on him, not getting in a hurry. It's coming by setting aside. And some of us, Pastor John as well, some of us have waited on the Lord in these last few months to just see what he has and see what he speaks to our heart. So we see those times when it might seem nothing is happening. It's a good time for God to take you and I and impart his strength and his cleansing touch, getting us ready for what he might have for our lives. There are some here that you might say, well, I've got my own plans and the designs, and I know what I'm doing. I know where I'm going. I'm happy with the wonderful life that I've planned. Well, I'm the captain of my ship, and I'm steering things just fine. Might be a good time to remind yourself who we belong to. God, I do belong to you. You bought me. Am I missing something? Is there something more that what I'm experiencing right now? Well, I want to look at Jeremiah chapter 18, and that's our text for today. The word of the Lord, verse 1, came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise, notice, arise. He had been probably sitting down. Maybe he'd been resting. Maybe he had been waiting on the Lord. Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my word. Sometimes God's picture, the whole design, the whole thing that he has in our life, maybe it comes just a bit, just a little glimpse. This is what I want you to do. Sometimes God says, I want you to step out, but you're not going to know what's going to happen until you start heading down the road. Because when you get there, I'll show you what to do next. As a matter of fact, I'll give you my word when you get there. And Jeremiah needed to do that. As we share, there are times that God has us wait. And who knows how long Jeremiah waited for the next command to take place. This is a walk of faith. God shows us many times just the next step. It's that way in the gifts of the Spirit many times, prophetic words. Sometimes he just shows us a little bit, and if we begin to enter into it, he gives us more and more. I will show you what's next when you get there. You know, the next point I want to talk to you about this morning is allowing God to have his way with us. Or in other words, yielding to the Holy Spirit. By the way, have you ever gotten ahead of the Lord? Maybe you see some kind of a deal up ahead. And you know what? You might even sense a little bit of the Spirit just checking your heart, but you go ahead anyway. I must have that. I must go there. Hey, you know what? And you don't pray about it at all. You ever done that? You bought something, you go, what am I going to do with this now? All right, I wanted this new job. I wanted this new place. And you get there and I'll go, boy, I'm sorry I got that. Maybe you've done something in the past, only discover, what was I thinking about? There was a guy named Milton. He was having some pictures of President Lincoln printed right before the inauguration that took place in 1860. Well, he had these pictures printed up. He was going to make a fortune on them. Everybody would want a picture of this new president. Well, Lincoln was barefaced then. He didn't have a beard. And so Milton went ahead and had all these pictures printed up, and he was going to make a fortune. A little girl wrote President Lincoln. Maybe you heard the story. Sir, I think you'd be a distinguished-looking man if you grew a beard. He listened to her. And by inauguration day, guess what he had? And guess what Milton had? Didn't fit, didn't work together, and he's just gone, oh man, I just lost everything. Well, Milton was one of those men that God did speak to him, and there were things that he was capable of doing, and that was not one of them. That was an easy buck, and he lost everything that he had on that. But Milton came up with an idea. He knew that there would be soldiers in those camps that needed to be occupied. And he came up with a board game called Checkers, or Checkers of Life. His name was Milton Bradley. Maybe you heard of him. He came up with Monopoly later on and many of the board games, and absolutely made a fortune. Sometimes we get ahead of the Lord. We do things that we're sorry for. And then after a while we go, oh man, what was I thinking? God, I want to go your way. I want what you have. Well, verse 3, then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something at the wheel, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. You know what? He didn't say, you know what? This piece of clay is so messed up, it's so scarred, it's so dented, I can't do anything with it. No. He was able to change it. Isaiah 64:8 says this, but now, O Lord, you are our Father, and we are the clay, and you are our potter, and we are the work of your hand. This, of course, speaks to the nation of Israel. But the New Testament, according to the book of Romans, speaks about how that God does and is a potter in our individual lives. Ephesians 2:10 says this, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So this potter takes his hands and uses water. You know, God uses water in our life, doesn't he? Uses the Holy Spirit water within our life. It talks about that that's what he is, the living water, and begins to soften us, begins to shape us, begins to mold us, and begins to make us into the person that he wants us to be. Picture yourself, maybe on the potter's wheel. As you remain yielded to the potter's hand, maybe there is a marred blemish in your vessel. Seeing that mar, that scar, that deformity, that big giant dent. But all the vessel has to do is wait for the direction. Be yielded to the master's hand. Allow him to shape us and mold us. It is him that changes us, my friend. We have no power within ourselves to change that mar that has caused you so much anguish and pain. Get up on the wheel and say, Lord, you are the potter and I am the clay. Mold me and shape me according to the way that pleases you. Lord, I want to want what you want. And if I don't, dear God, please help me to want what you want. And he will, my friend. He sees your heart. He knows the doubts that are there. But I'll tell you, as we yield to him, say, God, have your way, he begins to shape us. He begins to mold us. The Bible talks about he does a new work. I like the book of Isaiah and really what it says about, not only regarding a people, but regarding the changing of a nation that is so totally messed up. Isaiah 44:24-28, look at the power of God as I read this, and look at his ability to change something. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, and he who formed you from the womb, I am the Lord who makes all things, who stretches out the heavens all alone, who spreads abroad the earth by myself, who frustrates the signs of the babblers and drives diviners mad, who turns wise men's backwards and makes their knowledge foolishness, who confirms the word of his servant and performs the counsel of his messengers, who says to Jerusalem, you shall be inhabited, and to the cities of Judah, you shall be built, and I will raise her up her waste places, who says to the deep, be dry, and I will dry up your rivers, who says to Cyrus, he is my shepherd, and he shall perform all my pleasures, saying to Jerusalem, you shall be built, and to the temple, your foundation shall be laid. God has some amazing abilities, and so often we limit him, don't we? Well, Jeremiah chapter 18 goes on to say with the potter, not only speaks of God's ruling or sovereign power, but his ability to bring change, not only to an individual, but a change in a nation. O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Look, the clay, it's in the potter's hand. Are you not in my hand? We are looking, of course, as I said, presidential hopefuls coming in the future, but we must turn to our God first. We must turn back to him and allow us to make us into those changes that he wants to do. So once again, his blessing will be upon our nation and upon our lives and upon our families, upon our neighborhoods and our states. History records that in 1787, in the state of Philadelphia, it was one of those hot, smoldering days. The delegates from all the different states had come together. There was so much bickering and fighting. It was only 11 years after the signing of the Declaration. Many were in that building, had signed that document that we were free from the oppressor. And now everybody was disgusted. And people went home. Alexander Hamilton went back to New York. He had had enough. People were just angry. Farmers were being taxed. These little states were picking on other littler states, and big giant states were picking on the little guys. It was a mess. As one more delegate droned on in the afternoon, Benjamin Franklin reached in his pocket and pulled out his watch and goes, "Oh gosh," you know, thinking to himself, "I've got to sit through this." He caught the eye of President Washington, who presided over this fiasco, and he asked if he could speak. The floor was unanimously given over to this senior delegate. I'd like to read to you of what took place next, something that this elder statesman, who really did not proclaim to be a Christian, he was a God-fearer, of course, but he knew the work of God, and he had seen his power displayed. Let me tell you, and this is quoted from Sea to Shining Sea, from Mr. Marshall. So let me read this to you. This statesman gets up. He doesn't look at the rest of the delegates. He looks straight ahead at President Washington. "How has it happened, sir, that we have hitherto once thought of humbly applying to the Father of Lights to illuminate our understanding? In the beginning of the contest with Britain, when we were sensible of danger, we had daily prayers in this room for divine protection. Our prayers, sir," he looked at Washington, "were heard. And they and you must observe that frequent instances of superintending providence in our favor took place. And have we now forgotten this powerful friend? Or do we imagine we no longer need his assistance?" There was a dead silence in the room, and Franklin, well known for his rational views, was hardly the person they would have expected to come up with this question. But he was not finished, and now he turned again to Washington. "I have lived, sir, a long time, and the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see this truth, that God governs in the affairs of man. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it probable that an empire can rise without his aid?" Whitfield, he was one of the great evangelists at that time, it says, himself could not have been any better. Franklin seemed to gain strength as he continued. "We have been assured, sir, in this sacred writings, that except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. I firmly believe this. I also believe that without his concurring aid, we shall succeed in this political building no better than the builders of Babel. We shall be divided by our little partial local interests. Our projects will be confounded, and we ourselves shall become a reproach and a byword down to the future ages. And what is worth, mankind may hereafter, from this unfortunate instance, despair of establishing government by human wisdom and leave it by chance to war and conquest." Washington slowly nodded, and the old statesman was expressing his own misgivings. Franklin shifted his weight and concluded, "I therefore beg leave to move that henceforth prayers imploring the assistance of heaven and its blessing on our deliberations be held in this assembly every morning before we proceed to business." One more passage that I want to share with you before I close. Hey, you know what? Even though that was written when our nation was so new, a reminder that took place that there was a new king in Israel, and God had appeared to him in a dream. And he encouraged him and reminded him and warned him about what he needs to do in the future when things start messing up in his land. God spoke to King Solomon, the new king of Israel. He told him something that would help him in years to come. When I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, if my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. Pretty moving, my friends. Oh, how we need to not only allow God to be the potter of our life. He wants to be. He has things for you and I to do. Some are big things. Some are little things. They're all big to him. They're all big to us. Let him be our potter. And we need our nation once again to have his hand ruling and reigning in our midst. We've learned to pray this week. We've prayed for a church. And we're going to continue to do that. Pray for our neighborhood, our state, things that are taking place here. Would you pray this week as well? Pray for our nation. Pray for our pastor. We need him back here.